is the KPQ Legislative Hotline. Live updates every week from your lawmakers at the state capitol in Olympia on News Radio 560 KPQ and FM 101.7.
KPQ News Time 8:05. Good morning. Welcome to Hour 3 of the KPQ Morning Update. With you on this Thursday, the second day of February 2023, I'm Chris Hansen along with News Anchor Director Jason Taylor. It is Shelley Short's turn in our rotation for the Legislative Hotline, but she is unable to be with us today. So 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins has decided to stand in for her, Jason, and he's on the line with us right now.
Yes, and of course, Shelley Short in a committee meeting right now. Do have to do that, and but Brad, I understand it's not going to be an issue with you this year.
No, I don't have a committee at this time slot, so I'm happy to fill in. Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, okay, good. Now, a lot to get to today, and what came up at the last minute was the governor was supposed to appear in Chelan County, Leavenworth, and here in Wenatchee. He's got COVID. You're going to be here for that yourself also?
Yes, I was planning on being there for that. I've been in communications with Chelan County Commissioner Kevin Overbay. In fact, I saw Commissioner Overbay just last night. We were at a dinner reception together. Commissioner Dan Sutton from Douglas County was also there. They're over for the Washington State Association of County Commissioner activities. And we were all planning on being with the governor tomorrow, but I think that's likely to be rescheduled for later in the month.
Yeah, it said postponed, so I'm guessing that'll be rescheduled. So
right, and we're all hoping the governor, you know, has a very mild case of COVID. So I wish him well, and hopefully he'll be back around, walk around the Capitol soon.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move on to what's going on right now. We do have one question, or several questions actually, but we're going to at least one of them off the Plum Perfect text line. For your questions coming up about assault weapons, the ban there, the bill. We'll get to that after we get to some things that you're talking about right now. For example, is it 5505? Is that the bill?
Yeah, Senate Bill 5505 is a bill that I've recently introduced with my bipartisan co-sponsor, Senator Lisa Wellman, who's the chair of the Education Committee. I also have the Senate Majority Leader, Senator Andy Billig, and the Senate Minority Leader, Senator John Braun, as co-sponsors. I've dabbled into bills to sort of reform the school calendar, to take the 180 state-funded school days and encourage school districts to spread them out over a longer period. But this particular bill, 5505, aims to address learning loss by expanding the school calendar by 5 days. And so my proposal is to add 5 state-funded school days to the 180-day calendar. That would bring it to 185 days. Ideally, I think we probably need, you know, to catch kids up, we probably need something in the neighborhood of 200 days. But the reality is the academic calendar in our public schools all across Washington State is based on kind of this archaic agrarian model where kids took 3 months off in the summer, or at least 2.5. And it seems very inefficient to me to be starting, stopping, and restarting our teaching every year. And because of the extended break, a lot of the teachers need to spend most of September reteaching. And so given the vast amounts of investments that taxpayers are now making into K-12 education, it seems not like it doesn't seem like the best return on our investment to be taking such an extended break. I am a supporter of summer break, but I think perhaps a 2-month break would be more ideal for us.
Okay, so this is basically catching up with COVID-19 lockdowns, basically.
Yes, and encouraging school districts to do something differently. There's obviously a cost to my bill whenever you add state-funded days to all 295 school districts across the state. But my thought is we have massive learning loss as a result of the COVID pandemic. We do have extra revenues in the state of Washington. So if not now, when? When are we ever going to be able to do this? And a lot of the proposals that are coming out of the Education Committee that I serve on, they tinker this transportation funding formula. They tinker the special ed formula. They might dabble a little bit of money here and there for extra. But really, we need to look at making some significant gains for students all across the state. And I'm putting this forward as another discussion idea. It'll be interesting to see that how far it moves along, but I want to continue to push the issue about either adding days or encouraging school districts to take their existing state-funded days and spread them over a longer period. Basically, we just have this way of squeezing all this effort into 9.5 months, and it's pretty exhausting. I think some school districts could go to 4 days a week and stretch their either stretch their calendar into later in June or start in mid-August, mm-hmm. and catch up before the normal school year would start. So I think there's a lot of options that school districts could do if they're encouraged to think differently.
Well, interesting that you have bipartisan support, especially the Democratic Senate, leader. That would be a good start there. Now let's talk about, because we've got to get to a couple of things you wanted to talk about. I do want to talk about the police pursuits and get to that.
Yeah.
Running Start, tell us about that bill.
So I have another bill. It's Senate Bill 5670. This bill, I'm new to the Higher Education Committee this year. My K-12 Education Committee and the Senate Transportation Committee, I'm continuing in. The Higher Education Committee is new to me. So I pitched this idea to the chair, Emily Randall, who represents the Bremerton area, and it relates to Running Start. Now, Running Start is a program that has been long established where high school juniors and seniors can attend the community college and pick up credits in college towards their two-year degree that also count towards credits towards their high school diploma. Some kids actually graduate from high school and Wenatchee Valley College at the same time. It's a great opportunity to kind of save money, help eliminate student debt, get them into higher education, to keep them challenged while they're in high school. And my idea is, well, the Running Start program has always been set up for juniors and seniors in high school, presumably because you don't want too many younger kids mixing in the college setting. But I think now with this proliferation of online learning, my bill proposes to permit Running Start for 10th grade students for online only courses. So that's my idea there.
Nice.
And it'll be interesting to see how far it goes.
Interesting hook. Yeah, a lot of bills get introduced and it takes years to build up momentum. I've noticed from covering some state legislatures in the Midwest. It's just kind of the way it works. Okay, now let's talk about, before we get to the policing, the police pursuits, so we do have from the Plum Perfect text line a question about the assault weapons ban bill. Can you talk about that for us a little bit?
Yeah, there are various bills this year related to guns and gun safety, gun violence. It will be interesting to see how far, which ones are chosen to advance. That particular one that you mentioned has been attempted for several years. My understanding, I don't serve on that committee, it's coming through, but my understanding is it's a variety of firearms. And I am concerned about people's constitutional rights. And I think the U.S. Supreme Court has been pretty clear about Second Amendment issues, but our state attorney general and other members of the legislature and the governor don't apparently agree about the constitutionality of some of those things, and they're trying to challenge those things. But I have been a strong supporter of people's constitutional rights, and I will continue to be. And until the U.S. Supreme Court sort of changes something at the federal level, I don't know that we're going to see a change in the state of Washington.
Well, we also have that bill that, and they talked about this at the county level, it was Overbay here, because he's the liaison with the Washington Counties Association.
Right.
And it was for every county, or jurisdictions, cities and counties, there's a bill there that you can stiffen up gun laws anywhere in
right.
the state. Right now, they were against it because it would maybe, if you were a hunter and you wanted to go to the West Coast to hunt or do something like that, the western side, you could be outlawed from having the gun you were carrying if it was a stiffer penalty. So that seems to be a kind of a can of Pandora's box to go into.
Yeah, and normally I would support local control. I am a supporter of local control, whether it's school districts or local votes for tax adjustments or things like that. But again, when it comes to this, the efforts in Washington State to make reforms to firearms laws, I honestly think it would be better to have federal legislation so that there's uniformity across states for the very reason you're mentioning, but also federal legislation that withstands the constitutional challenges and the constitutional interpretation of our U.S. Supreme Court, because it is a constitutional right, and we need to make sure we respect people's constitutional rights.
Yeah, but I hear you saying that on the federal level, doing gun legislation has been it's been impossible for how many years? Forever now. So there's that aspect.
Well, and that may be the case to say it's impossible, but that's part of the issue. And so then, in absence of that, you have this patchwork of regulations in different states, and people cross over from one state to the other or move from one region to the other, West Coast, East Coast. And what you don't want, we want to make sure that we are cracking down on gun violence. We want to make sure we have the mental health supports. We want to make sure our schools are safe. But what we don't want to do is somehow create legislation that punishes law-abiding citizens. And so, you know, we have to figure this out. And there'll obviously be a lot of debate in Olympia again this session about that. But with the numbers as they are, some of these bills could certainly pass. There's 49 state senators, and there's 29 Democratic members and 20 Republicans. There's only 25 votes needed to pass legislation through the Senate. So, you know, the governor and the attorney general probably feel like this is their opportunity to do some of those things.
Okay. The numbers would seem to bear out. That may make a lot of sense with that, doing the math. Now, let's power on and talk about the police pursuits, getting the language changed there from down to reasonable suspicion from the other phrase that's more strict. So what are your thoughts, and where are we going with that right now?
Well, it's a big issue. I know we touched on it last week, and I'll just touch on it briefly here, but our Senate Republican caucus had an extensive discussion about it yesterday. Senator Monica Dinkra, who happens to chair the Law and Justice Committee in the Senate, announced that basically she's blocking the police pursuit bills. So the bill sponsored by Senator John Lubbock, a retired state patrol trooper. There's a Senate bill, bipartisan, on police pursuits that would support law enforcement, trained law enforcement. They don't always want to pursue everything, especially if it's dangerous, but they should have some options to bring people to justice. She's going to block that. Also, there is a bipartisan bill, I believe, in the House of Representatives, and even if that bill makes it all the way over, it'll still have to come through her Senate committee, and she's put her foot down on that, just like she put her foot down on the efforts to bring the bill to a vote last legislative session. And I think the Democratic members are now looking to try to study the issue, which could be, you know, multiple years before there's any resolution. And Senate Republicans and, I believe, a bipartisan group from both sides of the legislature are trying to bring a bill to the floor for a vote, because there is bipartisan votes to pass the bills if we can get the bills to a full Senate or a full House vote.
Right, and of course there's Senator Lubbock, who has had some legislation dealing with this area. We had testimony from him earlier this week talking about how he, when he was a sergeant, he would call off police pursuits. Is he part of one of those bills as well?
Well, he's sponsoring Senate Bill 5352, which is the police pursuits. And Senator Dinkra, or Chair Dinkra, is citing some statistics where deaths linked to police pursuits are down 73% since the original policy reform change from a couple few years ago. But other researchers and researchers that both the Republicans and Democrats are citing firmly reject the methods that her one researcher bases that conclusion on. And so somehow that's kind of leading to this whole effort of maybe we need to study it. But all the while, there are communities all across the state talking to their legislators, describing the massive problem in the state of Washington with the lack of the ability of law enforcement to engage in pursuits. And so I just want to thank our law enforcement community, and I want to share with the KPQ listeners that I am working as hard as I can to try to be a part of the effort to bring these bills to the floor for a vote.
Yeah, you know, all that over just changing one phrase from probable cause to reasonable suspicion, making police pursuits that much easier, and a lot of rancor over that. That's fascinating to watch from both sides, really, from where I sit. Anyway, Senator Hawkins, it's been great having you here. Our time's up. We got you again next Thursday, so I'm sure you'll have more for us to talk about, right?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. If any of the KPQ listeners have any questions, reach out to me at SenatorBradHawkins.org, and me and my staff will help get your answers. But look forward to talking with you both again next week.
All right. Thank you, Senator Hawkins. You'll be with us again next week on the Legislative Hotline next Thursday, and that'll be his normal slot. Shelley Short unable to come in this week, so Senator Brad Hawkins from the 12th filling in for Senator Short from the 7th.